Lord, I pray that you would help me to be able to say the things that you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that I would only say those things that would be edifying. Lord, I pray that you would help this to be a time of challenge, Lord, to help this to be a time of exhortation, help this to be a time that we could learn from your word. Lord, I pray that every heart here would be ready to receive the word of God, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would minister to them as we study your word. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in John chapter number 8. And you know, just before I get started with the sermon, I just want to kind of just by way of introduction explain a few things to you that maybe you don't know about our church, or maybe you haven't noticed. But at our church, we try to teach and preach a lot of different types of sermons, and I try to keep a balance. You know, on Sunday nights we're preaching through the Old Testament, chapter by chapter through books of the Old Testament. Wednesday night we're preaching chapter by chapter through books of the New Testament. That kind of gives us a little bit of a balance. On Sunday mornings we try to teach sermons that are very practical. Also try to teach just narrative stories and try to find applications through the stories so you can learn the stories of the Bible. We also try to teach practical things like Bible reading and how to have a good marriage and finances. And we also try to teach just very doctrinal sermons. And what I mean by that, every sermon has doctrine in it, but what I mean is just teaching you a concept or a doctrine in Scripture. And this morning is one of those sermons. I want to teach a very specific doctrine that is in the Bible. Now let me kind of say this. I'd like to ask you to keep an open mind till the end of the sermon. We're going to look at a lot of Bible this morning, but the subject that we are talking about could be in some ways kind of controversial. And you know, I know at Verity Baptist Church, we never talk about anything controversial. You know, it's always, you know, just milquetoast around here. But you know, I just want to say, you know, just keep an open mind, because what I'm going to teach you this morning and what we're going to look at Scripture may totally go against everything you've ever been taught in regards to this subject. Or you may have never even heard about this subject, and that's fine too. But I want you to just follow along with what the Bible says. Take notes if you need to take notes. Look at it and really just allow the Word of God to speak to you. This morning I want to deal with the subject of who are God's chosen people, or what is the role that the nation of Israel and the Jews play in regards to God's chosen people? And you may be asking yourself, Pastor Jimenez, why did you choose this morning to preach on a subject like that? Well, to be very honest with you, some of you know that through our friendship with Pastor Anderson and Faithful Word Baptist Church, our church has had the opportunity to be in a lot of different films, After the Tribulation, New World Order Bible versions. Paul Wittenberger and Pastor Anderson are working on a new film that deals with this subject. And this week they interviewed me, and I spent a lot of time studying the subject and having something to be able to say to them. And because of it, you know, just trying to kill two birds with one stone, I figured, well, if I'm going to spend a lot of time studying the subject, I should go ahead and teach it and preach it to our people, because it's been a long time since we've really even talked about something like this. But I want you to understand, today there is, I believe, a huge misconception or a misbelief or a misunderstanding in regards to what Christians believe that the nation of Israel and that the Jews and the role that they play in the New Testament and in end times prophecy. And I want to just give you a few things in regards to what the Bible teaches about this subject. Number one, many Christians believe that the Jews are just following the Old Testament. Now I want you to understand something. Let me say something, make something very clear. When I'm referring to the Jews, I'm not talking about the ethnicity of people. All right? You need to understand that when it comes to the Jews, there's the people who are descendants of Abraham who are, you know, Jews, and then there's the religion of Judaism, all right? And that's what I'm referring to. It's the religion and the belief system. You may or may not understand that, but there are people that convert to Judaism all the time. It is a religion. They have synagogues and they have spiritual leaders. And that's what I'm referring to. And today, a lot of Christians, as I talk to Christians and I talk to even pastors, a lot of people have this idea that the Jews, you know, they just didn't really understand the New Testament. They kind of missed Jesus Christ, but they're followers of the Old Testament. They're followers of Abraham. They're followers of Moses. They're followers of the prophets. They just didn't really grasp the Lord Jesus Christ, but they really do serve the God of heaven, the Jehovah God. And the question I would ask is, you know, what did Jesus believe in regards to this? Because, you know, just by coincidence, it worked out in our favor that the Lord Jesus Christ was actually a Jew. And he ministered in the nation of Israel. And he had a lot of interactions with this religion of Judaism. And he had a lot of conversations with them. And in John chapter 8, we find a really detailed conversation that the Lord Jesus Christ had with the spiritual leadership of that religion. And he gives us a lot of insight
into what Jesus taught and what he believed about this religion.
And I want you to notice a few things. You know, today people teach, well, the Jews are just following the Old Testament. The question is this: did Jesus believe that the Jews were just simply following the Old Testament?
Because guess what? As New Testament believers and as Christians, we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if he believes something, then we should line up with what he believed. I am not interested this morning in lining up myself with John Hagee. I'm interested with lining up myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not interested with lining myself up with Billy Graham or Rick Warren or the religious leaders of today or Joel Osteen. I'm interested with lining up myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand that today you talk to most, you know, evangelical Christians and even Baptists, and they're going to say the Jews are God's chosen people. They get a free pass. They're special. God loves them more than he loves you. But the question is this: does the Bible teach that? And did Jesus Christ believe that? Are you there in John chapter 8?
Look at verse number 37. I'd like you to notice, we're going to jump in right in the middle of the chapter, and we'll notice what the Lord Jesus Christ believed and taught in regards to this subject. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, which were the leaders of the religion at that time. And in verse 37, he says this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with... Notice what Jesus says.
I speak that which I have seen with my Father. That's Jesus speaking. He said, which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Okay, so did Jesus believe that the Jews, the Pharisees, and him had the same Father? He said, look, I'm telling you what I've seen with my Father, and you're telling me what you've seen with your Father. Look at verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our Father. Jesus saith unto them. Now notice how he responds. He says, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, you're not the children of Abraham, because you're not doing the works of Abraham. He said, if you would have done the works of Abraham, then you would have been a child of Abraham. Look at verse 40. He says, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Now notice what he says. He says, this did not Abraham. So, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what he's saying. He's saying, you're not doing, because they just got done saying, Abraham is our father. And he's saying, well, you're not doing what Abraham did. He said, in fact, if Abraham was alive today, he would have believed on me. He said, and you're not the children of Abraham because you're not doing the works of Abraham. Go down to the end of the chapter there. John chapter... you're doing chapter 8. Look at verse, let's just jump in at verse number, 51. Notice what he says. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. So he says, look, if someone keeps my saying, if someone believes what I'm teaching, they're never going to see death. Aren't you thankful for the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that I will never, as a saved individual, experience death? I will transfer from this earth to the next earth, or to the next world. I will transfer from this life to the life to come. But the Lord Jesus said, hey, if you keep my sayings, if you believe what I've taught, you shall never see death. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. They're accusing him of being demon-possessed. Abraham, now notice what they said. They said, Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Now they had a misconception in regards to what death was. 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, notice this, like unto you. So did he believe that they were telling the truth? Did he believe that they were teaching the truth? No. But I know him and keep his sayings. Verse 56. Your father Abraham, notice this, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So they just said, because he said, look, if you keep my sayings, you're never going to die. They said, well, wait a minute. Abraham's dead. The prophets are dead. They said, are you greater than Abraham? And he's explaining to them, hey, you don't even understand the gospel, because Abraham's not dead. He says, you may have buried his body, but Abraham is alive and well in heaven. And he says, guess what? When I came to this earth for the purpose of preaching the gospel, for the purpose of dying on the cross and making a way of salvation, he said, when Abraham saw that, look at verse 56, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He said, when Abraham saw the events of the gospel being played out, he was happy and he was glad and he was thankful and he 50 years old. And has thou seen Abraham? I like that they attack Jesus on the fact that he was young. You know, it makes me feel like Christ. People say, well, you're just a young preacher. I told my wife, from now on, when people tell me I'm a young preacher, I'm going to say, no, I'm not young, you're just old. She said that wouldn't go over very well. But then they said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? They said, you're not even 50 years old. How is it that you saw Abraham, and how is it that Abraham saw you? Now, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was. Now, you got to understand, I don't have time to develop this, but this phrase, I am, is found all throughout Scripture. Remember when God appeared to Moses and he said, I want you to deliver my people. And Moses said, what am I going to tell the people that your name is? God, what is your name? And remember God said, he said the first time he gave his name, he said, I am that I am. And what that means, the word, the phrase I am, it means self-existing. He's not saying I was. And he's not saying I'm going to be. He's saying I am, I always have been, I always will be, I was not created. He's saying I'm the Jehovah God. He said you exist because I made you, Moses. I exist because I'm God and I've always existed. That's what that phrase means. And if you study on in Scripture, you'll see that. And Jesus here, because you got to understand, they're saying you're not 50 years old. How is it that you've seen Abraham? And Jesus responds and says, look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, he says, before Abraham existed, he said, I am. He said, I existed. Now, he just declared himself God. You got to understand that. I know today the cults like to tell you Jesus isn't God. Or the Mormons will tell you he was just one of many gods. But Jesus said, no, I am. And he said, in fact, before Abraham ever existed, I existed. He said, well, how did Abraham know you? Well, Abraham knew me because I existed before Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him, and Jesus hid himself and went out the temple going through the midst of them and so passed by. They realized that he was declaring himself God, and he took up stones to stone him because they hated him. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make. Did Jesus believe that the Jews were followers of Abraham? Well, Jesus said, hey, if you were a follower of Abraham, this did not Abraham. He said, if you followed Abraham, you would believe on me. Because Abraham believed on me. Amen. He said, in fact, before Abraham ever existed, I am. I heard a preacher say, you know, it would have not been fun to grow up with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Can you imagine being, you know, a kid, 12 years old, with Jesus? Say, hey, I'll race you to the barn. And you beat him to the barn, you get there. And Jesus says, well, before the barn was, I am. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, I've always been here. I'm everywhere. I'm God. You know what I mean? But here's the point. Did Jesus believe that the Jews were following Abraham? The answer is no. Right. He says, this did not Abraham. He said, if you were a follower of Abraham, you would follow me. Keep your finger there in John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 5, just a few pages before. Keep your finger in John 8. We're going to be coming back to John 8. That'll be our text for this morning. But go to John chapter 5 and let me show you another point in regards to this. John chapter 5. The main figures of the Jews' religion is Abraham, who was a patriarch, and of course Moses, who delivered the law to the children of Israel. In John chapter 5, verse 46, notice what Jesus said. Again, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. John chapter 5 and verse 46, the Bible says, For had ye believed Moses... Now, did Jesus believe that they believed Moses? No. He said, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So here's the question. Did Jesus believe that the Jews were following Moses? No. Because he said, hey, if you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote of me. Right. He said, but you don't believe Moses, and that's why you don't believe in me. So here's the question. Did Jesus believe that they were following Abraham? No. Did Jesus believe that they were following Moses? No. Go back to John chapter 8. Look at verse 41. Okay, so people say, well, for the Jews, they're just following the God of the Old Testament. Well, you know, newsflash, the God of the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament, okay? But, you know, they're just following the God of the Old Testament. They don't understand Jesus, you know, but they're following Jehovah. Okay, well, let's answer.
answer this question. Did Jesus believe that the Jews were following God? Are you there in John chapter 8? Let's jump back into this conversation that Jesus is having with the Pharisees. John chapter 8, look at verse 41. He says, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." So they said, "Well, no, we're followers of God. He's our Father, our Heavenly Father." Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Okay, so here's the question. They said, "Hey, God's our Father." They said, "If God was your Father, you would love me because I proceeded out of God." So here's the question. Did Jesus believe that the Jews were following God? No. Did he believe that they were following Moses? No. Did he believe that they were following Abraham? No. Then why are all the evangelical Christian leaders of today telling us that we are to promote Judaism and we are to bless the Jews and we are to, you know, well, they're just followers of God, they're following the old Testament? If Jesus Christ, who is our leader, who is our Savior, who is who we follow, says, "Hey, you're not following Abraham and you're not following Moses and you're not following God," then why should I say otherwise?
Amen.
And you say, "Well, this is really contrary. I mean, you're anti-Semitic." We'll deal with that. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not talking about a group of people. I'm talking about a religion. And we need to understand, you know, we people want to give the Jews' religion a free pass. They'll stand up and they'll say, "Oh, well, Islam is a false religion and Hinduism is a false religion and all these other cults and they're all false religions." Well, you need to understand this. Judaism is a false religion just like every other false religion. Any religion that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ is a false religion. Keep your finger there in John. Go to Acts chapter 10. I remember you made a promise. You said that you were going to keep an open mind till the end of the sermon. So you got to look at all the verses and then make your own decision. You say, "I didn't make that promise. I heard you." Okay, so, all right. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 43. Acts chapter 10. You're there in John. The very next book is Acts. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Acts 10.43, let me show you this verse. Acts 10.43, the Bible says, "To him," Acts 10.43, "to him," now the "him" being referred to there is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to develop that. You can read that in its context later on if you'd like. Make a note of that. Acts 10.43, it says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." So according to Acts 10.43, the prophets all gave witness to who? Jesus Christ. By the way, that's why we're studying the book of Isaiah on Sunday night. So you say, "Well, why do I need to study the book of Isaiah?" Because Isaiah gave witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. The Bible says, the New Testament says, that the prophets gave witness to Jesus. Okay, so are the Jews following the prophets? No. Because if they were following the prophets, they would see Jesus in the prophecies. Are they following Abraham? No. Are they following Moses? No. Are they following God the Father? No. Here's what you need to understand. The bottom line is this. The New Testament, as New Testament believers, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot believe that the Jews and their religion is following the Old Testament. Because if they were following the Old Testament, they would believe on Christ. And here's what you got to understand. It's a false religion. And you say, "Well, if they're not following Abraham, and they're not following Moses, and they're not following God, and they're not following Isaiah, and they're not following Jeremiah, and they're not following any of the prophets, then who are they following?" Well, who did Jesus think they were following? Because remember, Jesus is my Savior. He's my leader. I believe what Jesus believed. So, what did Jesus believe? Go back to John chapter 8. Look at verse 43. John chapter 8, verse 43. John chapter 8, verse 43. Say, "I came to church to hear a real practical sermon about how to..." You need the Word of God. That's what you need, all right? Say, what's going to help my life? Knowing the Bible. Reading the Bible. John chapter 8, look at verse 43. Look what the Bible says. 8:43. "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words." Now notice what Jesus says to them. "Ye are of your father the..." What? Devil. Let's say that together. "Ye are of your father the..." What? Devil. "And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." So who did Jesus believe that the Pharisees and the Jews' religion, who did he believe that they were following? He said, "Ye are of your father the devil." I'm here to tell you, it's a satanic religion.
Right.
Say, "I don't think you should say that. Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, I need to say it." My job is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
So why aren't you preaching about, the woman in adultery there? You know, people say, well, preach about the woman. He let her get away. Yeah, then the last thing he said to her is, go and sin no more. We like to focus on the forgiveness, but remember, he said, hey, I don't want you doing this again.
So there's always a negative side to it. Go to Revelation. Keep your finger there, John. Go to Revelation chapter 2.
Revelation, last book in the New Testament. Fairly easy to find. Revelation chapter 2. Let me show you again.
Jesus believed that this was a satanic religion.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. There will be a practical application to it at the end. Just hang tight. We'll get there. Okay. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 9. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 9. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse 9. In Revelation, you have the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared to John at the Isle of Patmos. He's giving him a message for the seven churches there. And he's talking to them. Notice what he says. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these verses are in red letters because this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Notice what he says. Revelation 2:9. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. So what are we talking about? Jews, right? He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the one religion on planet Earth that identifies itself with a synagogue? Jews. We're not meeting in a synagogue this morning. That's the Jews' religion. Now notice, what did Jesus say about it? He said, but are the synagogue of what? Satan. So who did Jesus believe they were worshiping? I don't think you should say this. President Bush said they were God's people. Barack Obama said they were God's people. Okay, but what did Jesus say?
Jesus said that they're the synagogue of Satan. Go to Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 9. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. I like to throw in the Republican and the Democrat so nobody gets mad. They're all evil. They're all part of the New World Order. I hate to break it to you. Mitt Romney and all of them, they're all bad. They're all wicked. If they were honest, they'd get a real job. Okay? They're all liars. So are you a Republican? I'm a nothing. I hate all of them. Okay, I don't hate them. Strongly dislike. Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 9. Behold, I will make them of, notice, the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I love thee. So, today, we're taught the Jews are just following the Old Testament.
Okay, well, here are the main figures of the Old Testament. Abraham and Moses. Did Jesus believe they were following Abraham? No. Did Jesus believe they were following Moses? No. Did Jesus believe they were following... Does the book of Acts teach us that they were following the prophets? No. Does Jesus believe they were following God? No. Who does Jesus believe they were following? Jesus believed they were following Satan, the synagogue of Satan. He said, ye are of your father the devil. That's what the Bible says. Go to 1 John.
1 John chapter 2. You're there in Revelation. If you just go back, you'll have the book of Jude, which is one chapter. Then you'll have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, right before, just a few pages before the book of Revelation. Go to 1 John chapter 2.
The Jews' religion is not only a satanic religion, you need to understand this, it is an anti-Christ religion. It is an anti-Christ religion. You say, really?
Let me show it to me in the Bible. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 22. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. The Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Okay, so according to the Bible, there is no bigger liar than one that denieth. Notice the phrase there in verse 22. That denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, keep your finger there in 1 John 2:22. Go back to John. Remember I told you to keep your finger on John? Go back to John, but don't go to John 8. Go to John chapter 4. Let me just show you something real quickly. John chapter 4. We need to establish this, and I like to show scripture and prove to you. I could just explain to you, but I'd rather you see it from the Bible. John chapter 4, we're jumping into the story of the woman at the well. Remember there was a Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus meets her. He's giving her the gospel. Amen. He's going to preach to her the gospel and get her saved. In John 4:25, they're conversating back and forth. Notice, the woman saith unto him. So here's the woman speaking. I know that Messiah's coming. Now notice, which is called Christ. Do you see that? When he is come, he will tell us all things. Okay, so he said, I know that Messiah's coming, which is called Christ. And you need to understand this, okay?
A lot of people, I think sometimes people think, you know, Jesus Christ, they think that like Jesus was his first name, Christ was his last name, okay? Christ was not a last name, it wasn't a middle name, it wasn't a nickname. It's actually a title. And the word Christ means Messiah. Because notice what she said. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah's cometh, which is called Christ. Do you see that? So the Messiah, which is a term that the Jews use,
The equivalent to that term is the word Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. Go back to 1 John chapter 2. Okay? You need to understand the word Christ means Messiah. And notice how we learned that in Scripture. Did we open up a commentary? Did we open up a Bible dictionary? We need to allow the Bible to be its own dictionary. Allow the Bible to define itself. And that's the way you ought to study Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 22. Let's look at it again. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the what? Messiah. That's what the word Christ means. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and Son. Now listen, this verse applies to a certain group of people. Because it's not saying who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus exists or that Jesus is God. It's saying the person that denies that Jesus is Christ. So for an individual to deny that Jesus is Christ, they must believe that there is a Christ. They must believe that there is a Messiah, but they believe that Jesus was not that Messiah. Well, who's the only group on planet Earth that believes there is a Messiah coming, it just wasn't Jesus? It's the Jews. He says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ? Now notice, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. See, you cannot split the two. The Bible teaches the concept of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So you can't say, well, I believe in the Father, but I don't believe the Son. The Bible says, look, you either believe the Father and the Son, you take them both together, you can't separate them. So he says, look, verse 23, whoso denieth the Son, the same is not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. It's an Antichrist religion. In this film they were interviewing, that they're doing for this, that I was interviewed for, they also interviewed some rabbis. They interviewed some rabbis for the film, and they were letting them give their part of it and kind of give a defense for what they believed. And one of the questions they were asked, they said, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? They said, no. They said, do you believe that there is a Messiah coming? They said, yes. They asked them, well, if Jesus wasn't the Messiah, then how will you identify the Messiah when he comes? And here's the answer that they were given back. This was by rabbis, leaders of this religion. Here's what they said. They said, we know when the Messiah will come because he will be a military leader that will unite the entire world through peace. Now, who does that sound like? The Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to show up one day as a military leader and is going to unite the world through peace, and the Jews are going to look at him and say, the Messiah! Because they're an Antichrist religion. Who is a liar but he has denied that Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. So today, many Christians believe, no. They worship Jehovah God. They're following the Old Testament. They're just a little confused about Jesus. No, my friend, Jesus did not believe that they were following Abraham. Jesus did not believe that they were following Moses. Jesus did not believe that they were following the prophets. Jesus did not believe that they were following God. Jesus believed that they were following Satan, and the Bible calls them an anti-Christ religion. So we cannot believe that the Jews are simply just following the Old Testament. Number two, many Christians believe that we should bless Israel. I'm not going to tell you how many points I got because we'll see how far we get into this. Many Christians today teach that we should bless Israel. Have you ever heard a preacher on TV say, you know, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and we got to bless Israel and we got to send a blessing over there, and as we bless Israel, then God's going to bless us. Okay, does the Bible teach that, number one, God's blessing abides on Israel, and number two, that we are to bless Israel? Well, what does the Bible say? Are you there in John? Go to John chapter 3. I think you're in John 4 or 8. Go to John chapter 3. Look at verse 36. Okay, we already established this. We already established the fact that the Jews reject Christ as Savior and as Messiah. So they are unbelievers. They are not saved. John 3:36 says this. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's a good eternal security passage. You're not going to get everlasting life one day if you don't mess up, if you endure to the end. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath. That means you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now this verse is not only talking to the Jews. This verse is talking to everyone who does not believe on the Son. If you are here this morning and you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not. I'm not saying you believe that he existed. I'm saying you have put your trust on Christ as your Savior, your only way to heaven. If you have not received the Son, the Bible says the wrath of God is abiding on you. It's not that one day you're going to be condemned. You're already condemned.
The Bible teaches that for all unbelievers. Okay, so the Jews who have rejected Christ, according to the Bible, is God's blessing on the nation of Israel? Is God's blessing on the physical descendants of Abraham? No, the Bible says they reject the Christ. Hey, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Actually, the exact opposite is true. The Bible teaches that the wrath of God is abiding on them. That's what the Bible teaches.
Amen. Okay, does the Bible teach that we should bless any false religion? And that would include the Jews. Go back. I forgot to tell you. I was supposed to tell you, keep your finger there in 2 John. Can you go back to 2 John? 2 John, and look at verse number 9. 2 John, verse 9, towards the end of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. You got there Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 2 John, and look at verse number 9. 2 John, and verse number 9. And I want you to notice what the Bible says here. 2 John, verse 9. The Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, notice this, in the doctrine of Christ. Okay? So whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Have not God. So can you have God and not believe the doctrine of Christ? No. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Again, they go together. If you abide in Christ, you have the Father and the Son. Verse 10. If there come any unto you, if one day somebody knocks on your door, and they come unto you, and they don't say, hi, I'm from Verity Baptist Church, and I'd like to preach to you the doctrine of Christ. That's not what they said. They said, hi, I'm not going to tell you who I am till the very end, but let me tell you that Jesus was not God. He was just one of many gods. And one day, you can be a god of your own universe and have multiple wives and populate your own world. You say, who teaches that? The Mormons do. That's what they teach. I don't know if you know that. Or maybe somebody else knocks on your door and says, hi, I'm just a witness of Jehovah. Jesus wasn't God. In fact, Jesus was just an angel. He was the Archangel Michael. You say, who teaches that? The Jehovah's Witnesses. If someone comes to you and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, who did Jesus say he was? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I'm not a created angel. He said, I'm not one of many gods. He said, I am the Almighty. I am that I am God. Now notice what it says, 2 John, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? According to verse 9, the doctrine of Christ. And bring not this doctrine. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Okay, does the Bible teach that you are to allow people that are blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ into your house? Oh yeah, sure, come on in, have a seat, let's talk. The Bible says, receive them not into your house. And notice what it says. It says, neither bid them Godspeed. The phrase Godspeed is a blessing. It's saying, you know, God bless you, or God give you speed on your journey, or God help you. The Bible says, if someone comes to you and they do not abide, they bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. He says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Why? Verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I don't think you should be saying that. All I did was read the Bible. Come on.
Are you telling me I'm not supposed to give the Jehovah's Witness a cup of water? Well, what does the Bible say? I'm not saying be rude to them. I'm not saying be mean to them. Jehovah's Witness comes to my house, I say, listen, I'm not interested, you know. Or I may give them a verse and then shut the door. And, you know, I'll knock on their door and get them saved. But here's the point. The Bible says we are not to bid them Godspeed. So if someone does not believe the doctrine of Christ, are we supposed to bless them? Today we're told, bless Israel! I know they reject Christ. I know they don't believe in Christ. I know that they actually said Jesus was demon-possessed. But just bless them anyway. Bid them Godspeed. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. It says we are not to bid Godspeed to those which abide in the doctrine of Christ. Yet today, many religious leaders are telling us, we are to bless Israel. We are to bless Israel. We are to bless Israel. Now let me just say this. Go to Romans chapter number 11. Remember you're in Acts. The very next book is the book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter number 11. And look at verse number 28. Romans chapter 11, verse 28. Okay, let me just go ahead and say this again and make this clear. Does this mean that we are to hate the unbelieving Jew? Does it mean we're supposed to hate them? You know, I'm a Nazi. Okay, is that what that means? Absolutely not. We're not teaching that at all. We are not to hate the Jews. Romans chapter 11 and verse 28 says this, and I want you to see it. Romans 11, 28. It says, as concerning the gospel, they, okay, the they there is referring to the Jews. You can look at it in its context if you'd like later on.
As concerning the gospel, they, notice, are enemies for your sakes. Now the Bible says that they are our enemies. But as touching the election, they are beloved of the Father's sake. Say, well, what does that mean? Concerning the gospel, they are our enemies. As far as God's concerned, they are beloved for the Father's sake. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, God, Jesus, maybe this verse will kind of explain that to you. Go, keep your finger there in Romans 11 if you'd like. Go to Matthew chapter 12. I know we're looking at a lot of verses this morning, but, you know, it's church. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 30. I thought church was where you went and they sang songs for an hour and then the pastor only talked for 10 minutes. You went to the wrong church. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 30. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. I don't like this type of negative preaching. Who's negative? I'm happy. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 30. Maybe you're just on the wrong side of the sermon. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Look what it says. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He that is not with me, this is what Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Let me just read that again for those of you that think you don't need to go out soul winning. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus had this concept. He said, look, if you're not helping the cause, you're hurting it. If you're not with us, when it comes to the gospel, remember, as concerning the gospel, they are our enemies. Why? Because if you're not with us, you're against us. If you're not helping us, you're not helping the cause. You're not. He says, look, if you're not with me, you're against me. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you're not gathering, he that gathers not with me scattereth abroad. He said, if you're not helping, then you're not doing anything. He said, you might as well just be on the opposite side. Because, and here's the point, you know, are we to hate the Jews? No. But when it comes to the gospel, they are enemies. Why? Because they're not with us. They're against us. The Bible says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies. Now go to Matthew chapter 5, though. Let me just give you this. Matthew 5, look at verse 44. You're there in Matthew? I don't know where you're at. Matthew chapter 12, look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, look at verse 44. We're doing good on time. It's only 11:30. We're going to be done before noon. All right? You'll get out of here. You'll get lunch. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 44. Look what it says. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. Are we saying we are to, you know, go get a swastika and just hate the Jews? That's not what we're saying at all. We are to love our enemies. But you need to understand this. They are a false religion like any other false religion. They don't get a free pass into heaven because they happen to be a descendant of Abraham. Do you understand that? They have rejected Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches that everyone that rejects Jesus Christ has the wrath of God abiding on them. And here's the thing. You talk to Christians today, and you tell them, hey, do you think the Muslims, you know, have the blessing of God on them? And they're like, no, they rejected Christ. Do you believe the Hindus have the blessing of God on them? No, they rejected Christ. Do you believe these cults that don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Do you think they have the blessing of God on them? No, they rejected Christ. Do you think that the Jews have the blessing of God? Oh, yeah, they have the blessing. Yeah, John Hagee, I heard him on TV. He said that we are blessed Israel. They're a false religion like any other false religion. We don't have to hate them. We should pray for them and try to get them saved. We should preach the gospel to them. Love your enemies. Yeah, there are enemies concerning the gospel, but we are to love them, and we are to pray for them, and we are to minister to them. And when we go out soul winning, we knock somebody's door, and somebody says to you, oh, I'm a Jew. Hey, love that individual and give them the gospel. But don't think in your head, oh, they get some sort of a free pass because they're somehow connected to Abraham. Go back to John chapter 8. Let me give you another point. Number 3. Not only do many Christians believe that the Jews are just following the Old Testament. Not only do Christians believe that the Jews should be blessed. Many Christians believe that being a physical descendant of Abraham makes you part of God's chosen people and entitles you to Abraham's blessings. Most people think that if you can trace your lineage back to Abraham, no matter how ungodly you are, no matter what you believe, if you can trace your genealogy back to Abraham, then you are just God's chosen people, and you are entitled to Abraham's blessing, and, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe or what you think. Okay, so here's the question. Did Jesus believe that? John chapter 8. Let's jump back into our conversation with Jesus. John 8:37. Notice what he says. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Okay, so Jesus is acknowledging the fact that these were physical descendants of Abraham. He said, I know that you are Abraham's seed. He said, I know that you're physical descendants of Abraham. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father.
Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. So here's the point. Jesus is saying, you're not doing the works of Abraham, so you're not the children of Abraham. In verse 39, he said, you're not the children of Abraham. In verse 37, though, he said, you're Abraham's seed. So here's the point. Jesus seems to believe that if you're a physical descendant of Abraham, that doesn't necessarily make you a child of Abraham in the sense of you're entitled to God's blessings. I mean, right? In verse 37, he said, I know you're Abraham's seed. He said, I know you descended from Abraham. But in verse 39, he says, you're not doing the works of Abraham, so you're not the children of Abraham. You don't have to go there, but let me just read it for you again. Remember the verses of Revelation 2:9? It says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Jesus believed that there were some people who went around saying, I'm a Jew. But he said, no, you're not. He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. But here's what they are, the synagogue of Satan. That's what Jesus said. Revelation 3:9, let me read it for you again. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. So did Jesus believe that being a physical descendant of Abraham made you something special? He said, look, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you're not doing the works of Abraham. You're not the children of Abraham. He said, and in Revelation he says, there are some people who say they're Jews, but they're not. They're actually just of the synagogue of Satan. So, well, I don't understand. I'm confused. Okay, go to Romans, chapter number 2. I think you were in Romans before. It's right after the book of Acts. Romans, chapter number 2. We're doing good on time, okay? Don't worry. We're doing good. Romans, chapter 2. I'm gonna just teach you a few more things, and then we're gonna bring in a real practical, real encouraging. You're gonna feel like you went to one of those churches. You know those churches that don't have the name church in their name, but they make you feel real good. The Gathering. You know what I mean? You're gonna feel like you went to. When we're done, I'm gonna give you something real enlightening, and you're gonna be like, oh, I feel like I just went to the Crossing. You know, you're gonna feel good, okay? But if we run out of time, I'm gonna have to cut that out, okay? So let's just do it quickly. Romans chapter 2, look at verse 28. Some of you don't get my humor. Romans chapter 2, look at verse 28. Romans 2, 28. For he is not a Jew. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Okay, so according to the Bible, what makes you a Jew? Your outward flesh or your inward heart? He says, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And by the way, go to Philippians. You're there in Romans, just a few books over. Philippians chapter 3. If you're not able to go there, just get there in a minute. If not, just listen up. Philippians chapter 3. You got to understand this. What the Bible teaches that makes you a Jew is what you believe. We're talking about the spiritual descendancy of Abraham. He said, don't talk to me about your outward flesh. Don't talk to me about your circumcision. He says, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise of God, but not of men. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is why Paul was able to say to the church at Philippi, which were Gentiles, by the way, these were not Jews. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Don't come to me and tell me, well, I'm a physical descendant of you. I don't want to hear about your confidence in the flesh. And don't come telling me, well, you got to repent of your sins to be saved. I don't want to hear about your confidence in the flesh. And don't tell me, well, you got to live a good life or God's going to take away your salvation. I don't want to hear about your confidence in the flesh. Quit telling me about what you can do in your flesh or where you were born or what you did. Hey, it's all about your heart in Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians. You're there, Philippians? Go to Galatians chapter 3. Okay. While you're going there, let me read this verse for you. Genesis 12 and verse 1 is where we find what's known as the Abrahamic covenant. All right? The Abrahamic covenant is the covenant that God made with Abraham. It's not only found in Genesis 12, it's found in multiple places, but Genesis 12 is the first place. Let me read it for you. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God did all that for Abraham. Verse 3, here's what the evangelicals like to, just hang their hat on. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee,
and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
So that's the verse, you know, they all like to say, see, if you bless Israel, God's going to bless you. If you bless them that bless thee,
and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Okay, so that's the blessing, right?
That's the Abrahamic covenant.
Now Galatians chapter 3 gives us a commentary on Genesis 12. I'm not saying you pick up a commentary. I'm not saying you go on a website. I'm saying you go to another book of the Bible and allow another book of the Bible to explain to us what God is talking about in Genesis 12. That's saying, that's what's called comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Okay?
So here's the Spirit explaining to us what the Abrahamic covenant was about.
Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 16. Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. Now if we stop right there, people are going to say, see, there you go.
To Abraham and to his seed, where the promise is made. Okay, I agree with that, but keep reading.
He saith not, and to seeds. You see the S at the end? That's plural. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Do you see that? To Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. And he says, I'm not talking about seeds. I'm not talking about many. I'm talking about one seed, and thy seed, which is Christ. Okay, so who was the blessing made to?
It was made to Abraham and to his seed, not seeds with an S, but to your seed, singular, which is Christ. And by the way, does that just prove to you how important every letter is in the Bible? The new versions of the Bible, they say, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, we cut out one word here, and we put in another word here, and we just cut out a whole section of the Bible. But, you know, as long as the thoughts come through, hey, you need every word, you need every letter. It's all important for doctrine.
Amen.
He says, now to Abraham and his seed were all the promises made. He says, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
So the promise made to Abraham was made to Abraham and to his singular seed, Jesus Christ. Now notice this though. It gets better. Here's the inspirational part. You ready? Let me get the drum set out. No, I'm just kidding. Go to verse 29.
You guys. Verse 29. Galatians 3, verse 29.
Look what it says. And if ye be Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved this morning? Would you say, if I died right now, I am 100% sure I would go to heaven. Not because of anything I've ever done. Not because I went to church this morning. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I'm religious. Not because I've ever done anything that deserves heaven. But because I am in Christ. I've received Him as my Savior. I am counting on Him to get me to heaven. Is that you this morning? Now notice.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise.
You gotta bless Israel, you gotta bless Jerusalem. Right now they're fighting in the Gaza Strip, and you gotta bless them. They need all the blessings they can get. Look, that promise was not made to a physical Israel. That promise was made to Abraham and to his seed Christ. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. Can it get any clearer than that?
Amen.
You say, who are God's chosen people? Those that are in Christ. Who are the people that have the blessings of God abiding on them? Those that are, hey, if ye be Christ, and ye are Abraham's seed, and the heirs according to promise. Hey, it was a good day when I learned about the fact that I am not a second-class citizen with God. I'm not just, you know, just kind of like, well, the Jews didn't want him, so he just kind of sought someone else that maybe would give him some time. It's not, you don't earn respect with God based on what family you were born to or what lineage you were born to. The only thing that matters is, are you in Christ? And if you're in Christ, then you get the blessing. And if you're in Christ, then you are heir according to the promise. Hey, bless them that bless thee. He's not talking about an unbelieving, satanic, antichrist religion. It's talking about God's people that are in Christ. Hey, if I bless you, then I'll be blessed because you're in Christ.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You're not some second-class citizen with God.
I just didn't get a chance to be born into the children of Israel, so I just don't get God's blessing.
Hey, if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Go to Galatians 4, look at verse 28. That's why Paul said, Galatians 4 and verse 28. Galatians 4, verse 28. You said, that was it? That was the inspiration? It lasted 1 minute. If you blinked, you never. You have to wait 3 weeks for another one. Galatians 4, look at verse 28. Now we, brethren, He's talking to Galatians, Gentiles. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, was, are the children of promise. Who are God's children? It's you, my friend. It's me. If we're in Christ. If we believe. You're not a second-class citizen with God. Number four. Many Christians believe that being a physical Jew or in the nation of Israel makes you special. We got to move quickly. Many Christians believe that being a physical Jew or in the nation of Israel makes you special. Okay. Is there anything special about being a physical Jew? Is there any advantage to it? Now, Romans tells us that there was an advantage in the fact that they got the oracles of God. Children of Israel had the Word of God given to them all the way back with Moses. So there was an advantage in the sense that they were exposed to God's Word. But today, is there an advantage to being a physical Jew? Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 9. Matthew chapter 3. We got to move quickly because we're running out of time. I got a few verses I want you to see and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9. I want you to see just real quickly. Keep your place in Galatians. If you already moved on, don't worry about it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Look what it says. Matthew 3, verse 9. This is John the Baptist speaking. John the Baptist was preaching and preparing the way for the ministry of Christ. Notice what he says, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, and think not to say within yourselves, he's talking to the same group, the Jews. Matthew 3, verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Okay, did John the Baptist believe that there was something special about being able to say that I have a lineage that goes back to Abraham? He said, hey, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham, our father. He says, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones. He's looking at a bunch of rocks. He said, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Here's what he's saying. There is nothing special about the line that you came from. God could have made these stones and raise up children unto Abraham. Go back to Galatians. I don't know if you kept your finger there. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians 3:28. I want you to see this. Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You say, are you saying that the Jews are bad and look, we're all one in Christ. There's nothing special about being a Jew. Nothing special about being a Greek. There's nothing special about being bond or free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What matters is this. Are you in Christ? Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 11. We got to do this fast, okay? Colossians chapter 3 verse 11. Because you're not going to beat the rush to hometown buffet if we don't do this fast. Colossians chapter 3 verse 11. The Bible says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And by the way, that's the theme of the Bible, and that ought to be the theme of your life. Christ is all. Amen. Well, it's Christ, and if I can fit Him in, no. Christ is all and in all. Period. That's the theme of the Word of God. Well, I'm a Jew. No. Is it Christ? It's Christ. It's about Christ. Not about you. It's about Christ. Amen. Well, how you remind me? No. It's Jesus Christ. That's it. He's all. Everything. Period. Yeah. If you're in Christ. Go back to Acts chapter 10. Acts, you got John, Acts, Romans. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts 10, 34. We got to move quickly. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. If you're not able to keep up, you got one of those sermon notes there. Just write down the references. You can study it at home. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. You say, well, why would I have to study the Bible at home? Hey, because Christ is all. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Notice what Peter said. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive. I really want you to see this, so get there if you can. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God, notice this, that God is no respecter of persons. Look, God does not respect you more than He does me. Paul was not more special than I am. Abraham was not more special than I am. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. There's nothing special about being a Jew or a Greek or anything. God says, look, if you fear God and you work righteousness, He's going to accept you. Go to Titus chapter 3, towards the end of the New Testament. You got all those T books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 3. Find the T books towards the end. Titus chapter 3, look at verse 9. Have you ever noticed, as you read the Bible, that in the Old Testament there's all sorts of genealogies? You know what I'm talking about? Those chapters, usually you skip them in your Bible reading. You ought not skip them, alright? Read them. But you know where it says, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and all those things. You know, you find that all throughout the Bible. Okay?
In the Old Testament, they were really into genealogies. They wanted to know, you know, who is your dad and who is your grandfather. Okay, in the New Testament, though, Titus chapter 3, look at verse 9. I want you to notice, Titus chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies. The Bible says to avoid genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So in the New Testament, are we to have genealogies? The Bible says, no, avoid genealogies, for they are unprofitable and vain. Okay? You say, well, what changed? Well, there was a lot of reasons for the genealogies in the Old Testament. It was how they chose priests and things like that. But there was one primary reason for genealogies. And here was the primary reason. God had promised Abraham that he was going to give him a Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. God had also promised David. David came from the lineage of Abraham, and God promised David that he would give him a king, which was also the Lord Jesus Christ. The main purpose of the genealogies when you get to Matthew and when you get to Luke is to be able to verify that Jesus really was who he said he was. That he really was a descendant of David and that he really was a descendant of Abraham. Once that's established in the New Testament and we can go back and we can trace his lineage back and we can say, yes, the prophecies were fulfilled. This really is the Messiah. Okay, once that was established, God said, I don't care about your genealogies anymore. Stop keeping track. I know you just signed up for Ancestry.com and you pay for a year's service or whatever, but just, I don't care anymore. That's what he says. He says, don't, you know, avoid foolish questions and genealogy. I'm just kidding. If you want to figure out, you know, if your grandparents were in the Mayflower, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the point is this. Are we supposed to have genealogies for a spiritual sense? God says, no, avoid it. He said, there's no use. He said, well, why does it not matter? Because this, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither male or female. He says, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's not circumcision. None. He said, it doesn't matter. He says, here's all the only thing that matters is, are you in Christ? Okay, go back to Matthew. Matthew 21. So, is there anything special about being a physical descendant? You say, I am physically a descendant of Abraham. Is there anything special about it? John didn't think so. He said, hey, don't say within yourselves that you have Abraham for a father. He says, God is able to have these stones to raise up children as Abraham. John didn't think it was that special. God says don't keep part of genealogies. Peter said, you know, God is no respecter of persons. Paul said, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Okay, so there's nothing special. Okay, how about this? Is there anything special about being in the nation of Israel? Is there anything special about being in the nation of Israel? Should we make a pilgrimage back to Israel? You know, all these pastors, they like to go to the Holy Land. And I'm not against that. You know, it'd be fun to go back and see where Jesus was crucified and where they had the Lord's Supper and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But is there any attachment for New Testament believers to the nation of Israel? Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, talking to the Pharisees, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So did Jesus think there was anything special about the nation of Israel? No, he did not. In fact, he said, I'm going to take the kingdom of God from you, and I'm going to give it to another nation. Now let me go ahead and say this, because there's maybe some of you that have the question, and there's definitely going to be people on the internet that are going to send me emails that I'm not going to read anyway, but I'm going to answer it anyway. Okay? The dispensationalists like to teach that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are two different things. They'll say the kingdom of God is talking about heaven, spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is talking about the Jews and their physical kingdom. And they're going to say, Pastor Jimenez, you are such an idiot. You need to take a dispensational course. It says that the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Okay, here's the point. If you study the phrases kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven in the Bible, they are used interchangeably. It'll tell us the kingdom of God, and then a parallel passage will say the exact same parable, the exact same phrase, the exact same story, but it'll say the kingdom of heaven. So, throw away your dispensational book and just study the Bible. Because it's the same thing. There is no difference. And just to appease you, go to Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. God said in Matthew 21, 43, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth fruit. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. This is Jesus again speaking. He says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, talking about the fact that they're going to come from all over the world, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of what? Heaven. Okay, so there, we covered both of them. You happy? Verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. So guess what? They're not getting into either one. Kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven is the same thing.
They're not getting in without being in Christ. Now, anyone that's in Christ, Jew or Greek or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, they all get in through Christ. But just because you're in the nation of Israel doesn't mean you're going to be in the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Hey, he says people from the east and the west are going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. So is there anything special about being in the nation of Israel? No. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Towards the end of the New Testament. I know it's a lot of Bible. But see, some of you didn't read your Bible all week long, so we got to fit it all in just right now. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. See, if you read your Bible at home, then we could do a little less. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Pastor Jimenez, why do you say stuff like that? To make you feel guilty? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So maybe this week you'll read the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, but ye... Okay, so he took the kingdom from the nation, right? So what nation did he give it to? I think I know the answer to that question. He gave it to the United States of America. Wrong answer.
People like to say, oh, the kingdom of heaven is now given to the nation of America.
Yeah, because we're such a godly nation, right? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Okay, now, you have to turn there. 1 Peter 1:1 says this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So, Peter was writing to the strangers. The word stranger means foreigners. He's writing to the foreigners, and he gives us a list of the nations, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. None of those are Jews. He's talking to Gentiles. He's talking to people like you and me, alright? 1 Peter 2:9. But ye, talking to the strangers, to the foreigners, to the Gentiles, but ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. He's not talking to Jews. He's talking to you. An holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10.
Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God.
Who's the people of God? It's you, my friend. It's me.
It's not unbelieving Jews in Israel.
People that were once not a nation are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm in my conclusion. We're finishing up, okay? I'll give you a heads up. We're going to Hebrews, we're going to Galatians, we're going to Revelations, and we're going back to Hebrews, and we'll be done, alright? Hebrews, Galatians, Revelation, Hebrews, and we'll be done. If you can get there, we'll do this quickly. Here's a conclusion. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Notice what it says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. The Bible says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. Okay, now,
I don't have time to develop this. You got to read this on your own at home. But he's referring to the mountain of God. When Moses brought the children out of Egypt, the first place they went was to the Mount of God, where God spoke to the people and he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Okay?
And he's talking about that mountain. He says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. So he's saying, we're not looking for a mountain that we can touch, a physical mountain on earth.
He says, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And he begins to explain, you know, the mountain of the children of Israel when they met with Moses. He says, ye are not come unto the mountain that might be touched. Okay? Verse 22. Skip down to verse 22. You can read the context if you'd like. It's just referring, making a reference back to Exodus.
Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God.
You say, well, hold on. I thought we weren't coming to Zion. I thought we were coming to the city of the living God. But notice which one it is.
The heavenly Jerusalem. Do you see that?
See, in the book of Revelation, we're taught that one day out of heaven is going to come out a new Jerusalem. And see, often when we think of heaven and we think of the phrases of heaven, we think of the gates of pearl and the golden roads and streets of gold and all those things. When we think of all that stuff, you know, we think of heaven, but really that's a description of what Revelation calls the New Jerusalem. It's heaven, but it's a city called New Jerusalem, and it's going to come down from heaven. That's the city we're looking for. Now, did you find your place in Galatians chapter 4? Look at verse 25. Galatians chapter 4. We're almost done. Galatians chapter 4, verse 25. Galatians 4, 25. Look what it says.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 25. I know I'm talking fast. We have a lot. We just had a lot to look at. So Galatians chapter 4, look verse 25. For this is Agar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answer it to Jerusalem. There's a lot there that we can go into and we're just not going to. I just want you to notice this, okay? Notice this phrase. Jerusalem which now is. Okay, the Jerusalem that now exists and is in bondage with her children. Okay? Verse 26. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay, so the Jerusalem which now is in bondage. I'm here to tell you, those people are in bondage. They're in bondage to sin. They have the wrath of God abiding on them. They can be made free if they believe in the Savior, Jesus Christ. But the Jerusalem which now is in bondage. But the Jerusalem which is above, it's free. You say, what Jerusalem are you looking for? I'm looking for the one that's above, my friend. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse 8. Revelation chapter 11. We're going to look at Revelation. We're going to go back to Hebrews 12. We'll be done. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. Revelation chapter number 11 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8. The Bible says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. That's talking about the two witnesses. You can study that in Revelation if you like. It says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Now he's talking about this great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, and spiritually is called Egypt, but what is the actual city he's referring to? Notice the last phrase of verse 8, where also our Lord was crucified. Do you see that? Where was the Lord crucified? Jerusalem. So, what city is he talking about? He's talking about Jerusalem. But he says, hey, that city over there called Jerusalem, spiritually is Sodom and Egypt. So, where that applies to Israel? No, I'm looking for a heavenly Israel. The Jerusalem which now is, it's in bondage. I'm looking for the Jerusalem from above, which is free. The Jerusalem that now is, that's where our Lord was crucified, but it's Sodom, it's Egypt, spiritually. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be done right here, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. Remember he said in verse 18, ye are not come to the mount that might be touched, right? In verse 22, he's going to tell us the mount we are looking for. But ye are come unto Mount Sion. In the Old Testament, it's Zion with a Z. In the New Testament, or here in the Hebrews, it's the S. He says, but ye are come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Hey, I'm not under the old covenant. I'm under the new covenant. You get yourself under that old covenant. You wanna keep the law. Keep the law you want. I'm under the new covenant with Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. And here's what comes with the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Remember the blood of Abel? All the way back in the book of Genesis, Cain slew Abel. And God said that your blood is crying out to me. And the blood of Abel and the blood of countless have been murdered and killed because of sin cry out to God and they say, justice! I need justice! I need justice! But the blood of Jesus Christ, when He was crucified, it spilled out and it cried out, the Bible says, greater things than that of Abel. When the blood of Abel cries out for justice, the blood of Jesus Christ cries out, justified. And you know what the beautiful thing is this? If I get to go to Mount Zion, and if I get to see heavenly Jerusalem, it won't be because I was born into the right family or the right lineage. It'll be because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the mediator and the new covenant. You say, Pastor Man, you preach this whole sermon, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. Everyone needs Christ. And no one gets to heaven, no one gets a free pass because they were born into the right family. Maybe you're here today and you say, if I die right now, I don't even know. I don't know what I think about Jesus. I don't know what I think about all this. If I die, I don't know. Listen to me. It's not based on your good life. It's not based on the things you do. It's not based on going to church. It's based on one thing. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Jew, Gentile, black, white, hey, they're precious in His sight. It's Jesus Christ. Did Jesus believe that the Jews were following the Old Testament? No. Did Jesus believe there's something special about being a physical descendant of Abraham? No. Are we supposed to bless the unbelieving false religions, satanic religions of today? No. Is there something special about anyone on this earth? God is no respecter of persons. The only thing that makes you special in the sight of God is if you are in Christ. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You for our church. And Lord, I know it was a lot of doctrine and a lot of explanation, a lot of verses that we looked at this morning, but Father, I pray that You would help us to be able to just have it in our minds and realize that I'm special to God, not because of who I am, but because of who I am in Christ. And Father, I pray that You would please bless us. Lord, I ask that you would bless your people, those that are in Christ. There's nothing wrong with being a Jew if you believe in Christ. But there is something wrong with anyone and everyone who rejects Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us. Help us to be able to understand what was taught today. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, let's take